Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Continue on. The Apostle Paul here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe." The Apostle Paul here says, "Finally." You think he's ready to finish up? Sounds like some old pastor that's wrapping things up and he's got another 30 minutes to go. So he says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." And then the emphasis is on rejoicing in the Lord. And that whole sentence, "rejoice in the Lord," is found 9 times in the Bible. It's found 7 times in the Old Testament and 2 in the New, which are both in Philippians. We are rejoicing in the Lord for what He has done in our life, our relationship with the Lord. And we'll tackle a lot more next week of verse 2. It says, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision." And that true joy is not found in religion. It's found with a relationship. Just think what the Apostle Paul was going through. He's in prison. And he says, "You can rejoice. Even though I'm in prison, even though I've been beaten, even though I've been mocked, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice." So I looked up the definition of rejoice, and it's feel or show great joy or delight. So then I had to go a little deeper. Okay, what is joy? So I looked up the word joy, a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." Be happy in the Lord. Have that joy in the Lord. Sometimes on good days, when the Lord gives me what I want, rejoice in the Lord always. It's no less than 16 times throughout this whole epistle here about rejoice. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is rejoicing in the Lord. You know, one thing I wanted to talk about is what we don't want to be. I believe many times in life, there's many miserable Christians out there. There's grumpy people. That movie, Grumpier Old Men. But there's a lot of Christians that don't show that happiness, that don't show that joy. You know, and as I was studying, I thought of Eeyore. You know, if you are always Eeyore, and make sure you know who Eeyore is in your relationships, otherwise you may be the Eeyore. But if you go around always being, "Oh, woe is me. I'm a Christian. Would you like to become one? It's really enjoyable and fun." If we don't have the joy of the Lord, how can we share the gospel? Throughout the many years of learning and growing through all this, I've heard multiple times that waiters don't like to serve on Sundays because Christians tip poorly. And that is a terrible way to come across. I read an example of 17-year-old Garrett Wayman, who works as a waiter at a restaurant in Wichita, Kansas, said he was excited on Tuesday to see a $20 bill tucked under a ketchup bottle as a tip. But on closer inspection, his excitement turned into irritation after he said he realized the tip was a fake. A customer had really left Wayman a religious pamphlet disguised to look like money that recommended he seek faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. And those tips, those tracts are very good. The pamphlets are very good. That's not the downfall of this story, but he is not going to read that tract without a tip. If you're going to leave a tract, double the tip. If you want somebody to read it, and don't be the grumpy people on Sunday afternoon. Again, a lot of people don't like to serve on Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon. If you're not going to tip, don't go out on Sunday afternoon. Don't be that Christian. You know, many times in life we wonder, we think our life is horrible. We think it's so tough. We think, you know, and if you think of what the Lord Jesus Christ has given us, every single one of us has sinned. We deserve hell. We deserve eternity in hell. If you are in Christ, you have an abundant life. You have so much to be thankful for. Look at 1 Thessalonians. We read it earlier, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Remember how blessed you are. Maybe you're not happy because you're being selfish. You know, who are you trying to make happy? If you're trying to make yourself happy, it's never going to work. The older I get, the more I realize it's about service. It's about serving others. It's about giving to others. It's about what you do for others. And if you're not happy, maybe it's because you're being selfish. Stop thinking about yourself. Look at Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Happy people die to themselves and live for Christ. When you die to self, you can experience a happiness, a joy that transcends your circumstances. No matter what's going on around you, no matter what's happening around you, it doesn't matter. You can still have the joy. You're never going to find a lasting happiness in relationship and money and stuff and a better job. We always think happiness comes after that success. When I get that car, I'll be happy. When I get that job, I'll be happy. And it happens actually the other way around. When you become happy, that's when you're content and you can see all the blessings in your life. You have to be happy to have the success in your life. Maybe you're not happy because you're comfortable being unhappy. You know, you may say, wait a minute, nobody wants to be unhappy. But many people are comfortable. Many people don't want to change. Maybe it's the way they were raised. Maybe it's the life they used to. And we never want to get out of that comfort zone. Maybe they're happy being unhappy. They don't want to go through the pain of changing. You know, it's hard to make the necessary changes to become a happy person. Again, dying to yourself is hard. But I believe it's harder living a miserable life. Do you really want to be happy? Am I really wanting to do what's necessary to be happy? We need to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I came up with 16 reasons every believer should rejoice each and every morning. And I challenge you either write mine down every day or write 3 new ones down every day. I'd like to see how many days you could go. You know, I don't mind you writing down material things, your kids and life and health. But again, when you get into the Word of God, you can write for an eternity. I didn't want to keep you guys here all day long, but there's so many things. We can rejoice always because we have eternal life and we can never lose it. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can rejoice always because God has saved us. He has rescued us. He has given us eternal life. He has given us unending life, unending death. We can never lose this eternal life. What a way to rejoice. If you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done on the cross of Calvary, you have eternal life. You can wake up each and every morning and say, I'm going to rejoice because I have eternal life. Another reason we should rejoice in the Lord always because we are one with Christ. Look at Romans 6:5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We are united with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have become one with Jesus Christ. In Ephesians, it says, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have a new identity in Jesus Christ. We are united in Christ. We are joined with him. When Jesus looks at us, all he sees is Jesus. When God looks at us, he doesn't see us. He doesn't see our sin. He doesn't see anything about us. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ. We have died with Christ, and now we are risen with Christ. Another one, we can rejoice always because Jesus has paid for every sin. In Isaiah, it says he has wounded our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes, we are healed. It took me a long time to get this, but he paid for our past, present, and future sins. When he died on that cross 2,000 years ago, he took care of all of them. I hadn't committed any sins at that time. I wasn't alive. I wasn't born. But again, he has paid for your past, present, and future. Many times we believe, okay, he's paid for my past ones. You know, I've asked for forgiveness for those, but, you know, my present ones and my future ones, I'm still committing them. So we've got to, it's taken care of. Sin is not the issue anymore. It's whether you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can wake up and rejoice every single morning because our sins are paid for. Past, present, and future. He lived a perfect, sinless life on our behalf. He died a sacrificial death in our place and has been raised from the dead. And we're not going to receive a single punishment for that. Another one, we should rejoice in the Lord always because God himself is our Father. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 18. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughter, saith the Lord Almighty. And also it's in Romans 8:16. We are children of God, Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We can call God Abba Father. You know, the people of Israel would have never dreamed of using such an intimate term with Yahweh. We take it very easy today. We take it very, you know, we use the Lord's name in vain. We do whatever we want. But the nation of Israel was such a name, Yahweh. But now we can call him Father. We can call him Abba. Because we are united with him. We can relate to God as our Father. We can rejoice always because there is absolutely no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. Stay here. That's in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. You can look right there. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Jesus took all the condemnation. Everything we deserved, he took. God is the only one who can condemn, and he poured out all of his condemnation on Jesus Christ. There's nothing left to give to us. Jesus took it all, paid for it on that cross. And now we have access to come boldly to the throne of grace. And all we're going to receive is mercy now. Mercy and grace because of what Jesus Christ did for us. We should rejoice in the Lord always because we are no longer slaves of sin. Turn back a page, look at Romans chapter 6. Verses 6 and 7. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Also 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. We are free from the power of sin. We were once enslaved to it. We were once in bondage to it. We were once locked down to that. Now we have the supernatural power to obey God. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's convicted us. He's led us. He's guided us. We are a part of that Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. We are free from the slavery of sin. This is probably one of my favorite ones. We can rejoice always because we are joint heirs with Christ. And we are going to share in His reward. Like I said, if you start writing these down, you guys could just write for days. It's amazing how many different things that we receive because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with what I've done. I deserve hell, like I said in the beginning. Look at Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. You know, you always think of that inheritance from your parents or whatever it is. You know, some people fight over it. Some people lose it. There's $1 million and we're going to split it five ways. But in this situation, whatever you get, I get. There is no pie. There is no end to it. We all get the same inheritance if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a joy to receive that inheritance. What a joy to receive that we are joint heirs with Christ. We're going to share in that reward. Galatians 4:7, so he says, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. What an amazing thought. What a beautiful reason to rejoice in the Lord always. We can rejoice always because the Holy Spirit of God dwells in us. He leads us and He counsels us. I could never be up here without the Holy Spirit. I could never share the gospel without the Holy Spirit. I could never be, I can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. You know, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came and went. You know, it lived differently than what it does today. But today, the Holy Spirit seals you. It guides you. It leads you. It convicts you. It's there with you always. We can be confident that God will guide us in His will. Whatever it is for your life, whatever that is, listen to that voice. We can rejoice always because nothing can or will ever separate us from God's love. Look at Romans 8:38. Romans 8:38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I promise you, if there was a way to separate myself from the Lord Jesus Christ, I could figure it out. We're all failures. We all sin. We all mess up. But if you take this verse, not death, not life, not angels, not principalities, not powers, not things present, whatever's happening today, not things to come. If you take this passage, it covers every basis possible. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. What He did on the cross of Calvary for you was for you and you only. I always heard if you were the only person here on this earth, He would have went to the cross for you. And when we begin to realize that and realize what He has done for us, man, we can rejoice. Whatever trials, whatever tribulations, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not our own sins, not our own failures. There's nothing. We wake to the new mercies from the Lord each and every morning. We can rejoice in the Lord always because everything works all things for our good. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. There's many times in life we don't understand certain situations. There was a 16-year-old boy that was killed in a car accident this week, and we don't understand it. It's not fair to our humanistic mind, to what we're looking at and what we see. We don't understand it. But all things will work together for good to those that love the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't know how many people will be led to the Lord. You don't know who will come to an understanding of salvation. You can't see the bigger picture of the laid out plan. Each and every step, the Lord has a plan. But God is working everything whether it's a backache, whether it's a blessing, for our good. Whether it's a struggle, whether it's a temptation, whether it's a blessing, whatever it is, He's working it for our good. And we can rejoice in that each and every day. We're being shaped and molded for our good and for God's glory. We can rejoice always because someday we will be reunited with the ones we loved who went on to be with the Lord, but for us. We've all lost a loved one. We all miss people. We don't understand it. But what rejoicing that brings to us that we can see them again. That we know they are up there rejoicing. They're praising. They're singing. They're having the time of their life. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they are they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Sorry, I wanted to read verse 21 too. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Because of Jesus Christ, we know we'll be able to see them again. We can rejoice in that. We can be happy in that. We can have joy in that. Death is not the end for the believer. When we die, we'll be gloriously reunited with all those believers who have gone before us. We can also rejoice always because He is in control of every detail of our lives. You know, it's a hard thing for believers to understand God's sovereignty and how it's going to work out. And, you know, I may take God's sovereign will too far. But I may be able to dodge COVID and all this and hide from it. But if it's my time to die, I'm going to go get hit by a train. I'm not telling you to go jump off a bridge. I'm not telling you to have COVID parties. But when it's our time to go, there's nothing we can do about it. We can rejoice because He's in control. Whatever struggle you're going through, you can say, I can rejoice in this. There's a plan for it. I can rejoice in this blessing because there's a plan for it. It's molding me. It's making me. It's shaping me. In Matthew chapter 10, it says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. God knows and He loves us so intimately that He has numbered the hairs on your head. He won't let one fall to the ground without His permission. God cares deeply about the most mundane moments of our lives. You know, there may be times in your life that you're like, God doesn't care about what I do in this situation. It doesn't matter. I still think He's leading and guiding you. I think He's holding your hand. I think He's showing you signs. I think He's showing you what you need. God is in control of every aspect of our lives, to the smallest of small. That reminds me of the Whoville, to the smallest of small. Sorry. We can also rejoice always because every bit of pain that we endure produces an eternal weight of glory. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The little bit of pain that we go through, and we think it's a ton of pain. It's agony. It's hard. It's things that we're all going through, different things. But the glory that will come out of it, the rejoicing that we're going to see from it, take that pain and flip it over and you're going to receive that much more glory from it. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all compare. Our pain and suffering is not pointless. God is using every iota of pain and affliction to prepare an eternal weight of glory for us. We don't know what it'll be. We don't know how it'll work out. We don't understand what heaven's going to be like. But we can read this verse. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What a way to rejoice. We can rejoice always because God will meet our every need. And you can even see this in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We all have needs, whether they're physical, spiritual, mental, emotional. I didn't say God's going to meet every need that you want. It says here, but my God shall supply all your needs. Could we stop there? That'd be nice. But he says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When we understand that he has a plan for your life, he has a plan for the way you're moving, the way things are happening, the way it all is working out. But he will supply you what you need. He'll supply the support for you. He'll supply the joy for you. He'll supply the physical for you. Whatever it is, we can rejoice that he's going to supply your every need. We can rejoice always because someday Jesus will personally wipe away all our tears and sadness. In Revelations, it says he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. One day, sadness will be eliminated, tears will be eliminated, sorrow will be eliminated. We'll be in heaven rejoicing with him. And the last point I came up with is we can rejoice in the Lord always. Because someday we will gaze upon the glorious face of our Savior. That's all we are looking for. That is where our hope is. We're looking for the rapture. We're hoping to meet him in the air. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Because we shall see him as he is. What a great hope for every believer. Each and every morning, we can rejoice in the Lord always. I challenge you to write down 3 things, 6 things, 10 things. If you start your day with gratitude, it will change your entire attitude. We could have gone on and on and on. Our wonderful God has given us so many reasons. There's even a song called 10,000 Reasons. We have all the reasons to rejoice. We have all the reasons to have joy. We have all the reasons to be happy because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I challenge each and every one of you, if you go out to dinner this afternoon, make sure you leave a big tip with the tract. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that through tears and sadness and agony and pain that we can rejoice. That we know we are seated with you in the heavenlies, that we have so much to be thankful for, that we have so much joy in our lives. I just picked 16 that I came up with. But there's thousands that we can go through in the Word of God, that we are thankful that we are a child of yours. We're thankful that you sent your Son to die on the cross. We can have joy in each and everything, Lord. We just pray that we will not be Eeyore, and that we will become a life that can show the love of Christ through each and every step that we do, Lord. We thank you for the many blessings. We thank you for life in general, Lord. And we pray in your precious Son's name.